Don't talk about NFTs. Don't talk about NFTs. Don't talk about NFTs. This week, GameStop, the once video game turned collectible, turned toy, turned NFT market. Classic Orange Lounge Radio fans were delighted to hear that Konami has revealed a Castlevania NFT. For crying out loud. Sega says they won't release something that is an empty cash grab, like NFTs. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to talk about NFTs and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, back with you once again for the first show of our 20th broadcast year. That's right, from 2002, episode 1, to today, episode 898, for this January 9th of 2022. I am Rob Roberts, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, who I'm going to introduce out of order tonight a little bit. I'll start tonight. Say hello to Techmaster Loki, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back, as the case may be.
Yeah, thanks.
So
be here and not where I was.
Yes. So, you know, all I told the listeners was that you were in the ER, but I see you're up. You're smiling. You even got DuckTales playing behind you. So everything seems like it's all good, right?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, considering. So, yeah. So last weekend I had it felt like a sore muscle, but it wasn't going away.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was my appendix. And so I went into the ER, and, you know, the ER is super slow, so we did all that. It ended up not being my appendix. Mm-hmm. Instead, it is a wonderful kidney stone, the gift of 2022. So, that's fun.
All right. Well, let me also introduce Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Kidney stones suck.
We held down the fort last week with a no LR. So there was no podcast because Dark Soccer and I kind of did a chatty, screw around. We didn't really talk about games. We talked about whatever we wanted. However, we were hypothesizing what's wrong with Loki before. I got the text message from you, Loki, halfway through. But in the beginning, we were hypothesizing what's wrong with Loki. And high five, Dark Soccer. I think we had landed on kidney stone. So
my exact phrase was, I hope that's what it is out of all the things it could be.
Yes. Yeah. I think it was that or appendix would be the easiest two, the most routine one.
But
neither are fun.
More common.
Yeah. Neither are fun. Don't get me wrong. And I'm sure Loki can attest.
My appendix
was not fun, but
did you know the appendix actually does serve a purpose?
I always thought it didn't, it was supposed to be something tied to uncooked meat in our ancestors or something.
It was theorized as a vestigial organ,
it wasn't just me that lost her. Sorry. It's an internet hiccup. I don't think it was
a stupid audio rig for some reason. This is even before I installed Loopback.
Oh, I thought it was a Zoom call gone bad.
It's been doing this weird thing with my headphones. I'll need to fuck with it. But okay. But at any rate, it houses good bacteria, especially after periods of gastroenteritis or any sort of digestive issue. And on top of that, it provides a lot of the immune function in infants.
Interesting.
I read a whole entire study on it, and it came up recently in another conversation.
All right. And Dark Soccer's been educating us on facts like that for the last 20 years our video game chat.
I just absorb random shit.
No, I do it too. I like to absorb celebrity stuff. So I've got to say this at the top of the show. We'll get into our kickoff topic here in a moment.
I watched the Walk-Ins because someone played – was it Nick that played it on his channel? Someone did the workroom walk-ins.
Oh no! I don't want to talk about Drag Race. No. I want to talk about.
I was just gonna say.
No.
But I already have a favorite.
Well, okay, but we'll talk about that if we have no emails. But I want to.
We do have.
I want to mention this at the top. So another thing we talked about on the No LR, and you guys can go back and watch it. I did clip it for the Twitch TV subscriber archives, but I do want to stress, because I don't want the podcasters to feel like they're missing out on something. It got really off topic. We were talking about like COVID and all this stuff that like has nothing to do with gaming, and there were like two headlines from last week, so there was hardly anything to cover anyway. But one thing we got into is we were talking about the death of Betty White, because you know our listeners know that we love Betty White and kind of expected us to get into that at some point. So we had to talk about it.
Saint Betty.
And that led to Dark Soccer kind of looking at a list of, well, who else is close? Because Betty White was 99, right? And as you were going through this list of 90-year-old celebrities, one of the names you came across was Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier.
And then, unfortunately, this last week, there we go. One name that
well, guess who died today?
Oh, I heard. Yeah, this is so funny. I got up from a pre-show nap. I got up from a pre-show nap as I usually do, and I walk into the kitchen, and Alan goes, "Oh my God, did you hear who died?" And I was like, "Honey, the first thing I do whenever I wake up from it is I check Twitter." Yes, I know Bob Saget died. But that was certainly not on the list. Because he was only 65. That's very young and very surprising. And I think a lot of people are kind of feeling that whole, like, what? Like, was he murdered? Like,
he was on tour.
And yeah, no. And for the record, he was not murdered. And I there was a tweet from a verified police thing in Florida that says no foul play, no drugs. So
yeah.
This appears to be the man probably, I don't like
overworked,
to
overstressed,
overworked,
bad living,
a heart attack, probably. Who knows? Yeah. I don't mean to be disrespectful by making things up, but sometimes shit happens. People spontaneously combust. It just, things happen. So yeah. And a lot of people are saying he tweeted last night. Yeah. It just shows every day is a gift. Anyway. We'll get into our kickoff topic tonight. Let me go back to Loki, though. Loki, I'm glad you're doing better, and we're all happy to have you back. I don't think Dark Soccer, I really wanted to do the first show of our 20th year without you, and the news last week was kind of anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean, the biggest headline was Square Enix and NFTs, and there's enough NFT stories to fill a dumpster right now, so we'll get into some of those stories later. I'm glad you didn't get Miss Omicron while you're sitting there in the ER, because that was my thought. I was like, you're in the ER with all these coughing people, probably.
Well, yeah. So they have at least separated, like, if anybody had respiratory issues, they got basically banished to the tent outside.
I see.
So COVID there was Island. That. But there was still, like, some people out there that, like, there were still some people, like, coughing and stuff. But I did my best to, like, stay as far away from them as possible. I just didn't like being in the ER in the first place, because like
nobody does.
Most medical procedures like give me the creeps, and so I had to have an IV. I did not like that.
Oh yeah, you don't like
but I bet they gave you that good painkiller stuff.
I don't like pills and shots.
Yeah, I don't like needles. IVs kind of creep me out, so I had to have the I don't know what you called, like the intake or whatever. Like I had to have that stuck in my arm for like hours, and I was sitting in the lobby. I was like, and then had that, had to have a CT scan, which is pretty cool.
Those are pretty cool, kind of space Asian, awesome.
They're cool.
When I was having all the things with my pancreas, and they would do the radio, the ultrasound. It was an ultrasound. Sorry, not a CAT scan. Ultrasound. I used to say, "Oh, we're looking at the food baby."
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. That thing is like very like Stargate-y.
Yeah, it's true. Yes.
And then, but most of it was just sitting, and it was so boring. And you know, I was just people watching. And there was a couple like crazies that came in. There was somebody that stepped on a nail. Testicular contorsion or something like that, and something like that.
How do you hear that stuff? You're not supposed to hear what's going on with the other people.
Okay, so yeah.
That's in the ER, it does not matter. People will say.
I was like, where did you go to the ER? The Walmart pharmacy?
They seriously were discussing stuff like with patients, like just out loud, just everywhere. I'm like, HIPAA, yo. I mean, yeah. But
as
like,
long as
yeah,
they don't say their names, it's not technical disclosure.
So it was. All right, I guess, but it's super, like, everything took a long time, so I was there for, like, 8 hours. And I remember, like, I left there, like, when I left the house, I'm like, oh, this is going to take all day. And then, yeah.
I know, yeah, you texted me, you were like, I'm at the ER, I'll let you know about the show tonight. And I'm like, you're not going to be at the fucking show tonight, the ER. I'm like, so I'm texting Jamie, Loki's not coming tonight.
Yeah, it took a long time to get into the CAT scan is what happened was, you know, with that. But yeah, I'm glad it's over. They gave me a bunch of medication that I can't really take. Because also, not only am I phobic about needles, but I also can't swallow pills for some reason. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I am just the medical marvel.
I have three pill crushers.
These you can't. And I tried. I did get it down once. And then that was it. But thankfully, though, the urologist said, like, no, you don't need to take that. It's only it will speed up the process by like 2 days overall out of like 6 to 8 weeks. And she's like, really, it's no big deal. So that's a relief. But
did the process finish, Loki, or are we still waiting?
No, we're still waiting.
Oh no! Ooh,
so like they okay? So the initial measurement they said was 9 millimeters, which is enormous. But then she said it was like a grain of rice, I guess, but bigger, like so, like 4x7.
Oh
like
my
grain
God.
Of rice shape.
Oh my! Did so they do this? Did they do the sound thing to try to reduce it?
No, not yet. Ooh. They're waiting to see. So as long as it doesn't pull an Ever Given, go in there sideways, we're okay.
I was telling Loki before when I had mine, they did break mine up a little bit. But Dan had one, and I've had one, and the pain isn't like that sharp pain afterwards. It tends to be a little bit more dull as it's passing.
Yeah, it's been, like, thankfully the last few days have been fine. And the other days that I do feel it a little bit, like, it's just uncomfortable. And I'll just take, like, ibuprofen or something for that, and then that's fine. The only other thing that I don't like about it is I occasionally, although I haven't for the last few days, I'll get chills without having a fever. So that sucks because mm-hmm. then my abdomen muscles tighten up and it hurts worse. Not a ton. Like, it's just like uncomfortable. I mean, that's probably, it's not like painful. It's just like, this is uncomfortable. It's like a sore muscle.
Well, take care
so
of yourself.
So far.
Take care of yourself, Loki, and it's good. It's good to have you back. So yeah.
The good news though is I haven't been drinking Red Bulls for the whole week, so you know, there's
which
that.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah, there you
probably
go.
Probably what
maybe
did it.
This will be a.
Well, we don't know extra... that. You have to. You know, everything.
I'd say it's a likely candidate.
This is the time to kick that habit. Maybe I did want to mention this though, since I didn't get to have you here last week to talk about this. You know, we have to go back to like 2 weeks ago, and on December 25th, I had spent that day with Dark Sakura, and we talked a little bit about that on the show. But then the day after our last show, which was the 26th, I actually got to see you, Loki, and I wanted to show this to listeners because Loki gave me a little something, and I want to, yep. And by the way, I actually have two of them because one of them is for Dark Sakura because Loki
That's
was
true.
Like, you'll probably see her before I do. And what I have, let me open my bag again. I actually have an NES cartridge, a physical copy of this little indie game we've talked about on this show a lot of times. It's called Pixel Poops Number 2. There it is, the actual cartridge, actual NES cartridge, and it's very legit, Loki. Congrats. I have to confess, though, I haven't played it yet because I don't have a working NES. So I
Why
feel
did
like
nobody tell me this was out yet?
Because
I don't have
this
I'm
is
not
a secret.
Selling the physical carts yet because I don't have enough of them.
It's
and an, I don't
it's
know
a secret advance release for special people, Dark Sakura. Did you not hear me say I have two and one's for you? So
oh. Happy.
And part of the reason I need to bring you your copy is that you probably have a working NES we can play it on. So I want to see it.
I have several
I want to
NESes.
See it on the original hardware. So
I'll see if that. We can lend you an NES.
Yeah. Tiger Claw says you are holding a one-of-a-kind prototype of an NES cartridge of the game. Yeah, true. I guess that is true. So that's awesome.
Limited edition.
I'm happy my friend made a game, and I want to support it. So thank you, Loki, for hooking me up with a cartridge. That's
he
great.
Also has your Animal Crossing cards, too.
Yes, Darksiders Animal Crossing cards are in here. And I think, was there two magazines? I forgot to look.
I think it's just one.
Oh, Never mind. You get the cards. I get the magazine. All right. But I'll show you the magazine. It's a copy of the Cool Shit magazine that Loki was featured in. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Awesome.
You can scan the article.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. All right. Okay. Enough. Let's get into talking about games here. We're going to talk about the Consumer Electronics Show here at the top. Not usually a lot of gaming news that comes out of Consumer Electronics Show, but this year, pretty big tease, right, Loki?
Yes, I'm very excited. So we knew this was coming at some point, but we just didn't know what the details were. So that's the Sony PlayStation VR 2. They had formally announced it now. And of course, no details aside from some of the specs, because this is CES, no price, no release date, availability. Good luck with that. But it is going to be for the PlayStation 5, obviously. There are some new dedicated controllers for it. They call them Sense, because there's two of them. Get it? DualSense. So they look like your bog standard, you know, VR controller. I mean, you got the ring, you've got the kind of handheld stuff. They have the face button split between the two controllers and analog stick split between the two controllers. It's almost like basically having the controller split. And I don't see that there's like shoulder or trigger buttons on the top there. Probably there are triggers underneath. They typically have that. So, yeah, kind of like a PlayStation DualSense controller just split. And then, of course, some pretty impressive specs on the actual device itself. So it's got an OLED display with 4K resolution, 2000 by 2040 pixels per eye, refresh rate up to 120 hertz. They're going to have 110 degree field of view and also has eye tracking, which is pretty cool.
That's
and
creepy.
I'm curious to see how they do. Well, a lot of times with the eye tracking, they may use that for foveated rendering, where they basically render a higher detail where you're looking and everything else is less detailed.
Oh,
so it's a way to save on rendering processing power. Don't know about a whole lot of the games that are coming out for it aside from Horizon. What was it? There's a Horizon. Some
one of their Forbidden West Zero Dawn, like a Forbidden Horizon game in that universe that they showed like 5 seconds of. It looked cool, but
yeah,
we barely got a taste. Yeah.
And pricing, don't know what the price is yet on that, but I'm expecting expensive.
Yeah.
All I gotta say is Until Dawn, Rush of Blood 2, and I'm there. I'm telling you.
Can I say my favorite part of this whole PlayStation 5 VR? One fucking wire.
Yes.
So, applause.
Yeah,
one fucking wire. Thank
well,
you.
Well, yeah,
because the PlayStation 4 is spaghetti. It's a mess. But it's years old tech now.
The headsets, I mean, now they have the tracking on the, it's inside out tracking, so you don't have a camera that you have to have anymore. And then, of course, everything now can be put through USB Type-C. So one cord, that's it. Definitely doable. So I'm very curious to see what else they have for it.
I think we'll see probably upped versions of a lot of existing games. Like Beat Saber will have to exist on this thing. Has to.
I'd be curious of backwards compatibility, too. Like, I'd want to see, like, if they do, like, stuff with backwards compatibility.
Oh, good question.
I would hope so, too. I kind of want one, even though I don't play VR stuff. I do.
Yeah,
I just don't have the room for it.
I like
I still want it.
Enough VR stuff where, like, and I liked PS4 VR enough where it's like, okay, I want to get the PS5 VR. I mean, I have to get a PS5 first, but I still feel like this is far enough out. Maybe there'll be a super bundle by this holiday. Of course, whether I can get my hands on one or not is going to be anyone's business. It sounds very enticing, and I'm just glad Oculus has a little more competition with something with the higher specs, you know, that's a little more, you know, of 2022 than of, 2016 or whenever the PS4 VR came out. I'll definitely check it out. I was pretty happy with the PlayStation 4 VR, and I think just having, better graphics, more fluid, better stuff is just going to be even a more step up. I can't wait to play some more of the workout games and all that.
They said that Horizon Call of the Mountain, and they said it's actually going to be a a proper game, not just a port of the other.
Or like an experience, like a lot of the early VR stuff probably was on PlayStation. Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
that's pretty
and
cool.
And then, you know, the other thing to mention too is what those Sense controllers is they also have the haptics in there, just like the PlayStation DualSense. So that'll be pretty cool too.
Yeah, I can't wait for things like No Man's Sky to support it too. Even though, but the thing about VR, and you know, I really enjoy it 20 minutes at a time. Like, I'm just not going to play a hours-long game exclusively in VR. I can't handle it. But it's great for things in short bursts. So that's why Beat Saber is so fucking good, because you can play 5 songs, take the headset off, take a break. Okay, now I can play a little more and I'm fine. At least that's the way it is for me. So, yeah. So
that's more than I can pretty much do.
I know. But, I know you used to kind of be like, not a fan of first person stuff, but you seem to have made Dead by Daylight work for you. Was there a trick there or something different? Or
I just have to get used to it. And sometimes if I'm having some vertigo issues already, then I can't play.
Ah, I see.
Like I had this one thing, and it was when I was pretty soon off of my meds,
mm-hmm.
where I was awake at like 3 a.m. And so I logged on to play, and I had myself like a really, really good pig game. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In Larry's.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of turns. Lots mm-hmm. of, you know, and Pig's a fast character.
Yeah.
So I got really motion sick and actually had to step away, take my nausea medicine, come back. Well, I still got a 4K, but still.
but it
was a good game.
So it's a similar kind of thing-ish where you got to do it in short bursts, maybe, depending on
if
you know,
I do it.
Doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do it.
Like, and it also depends on the nature of it. Honestly, if it's either too smooth or not smooth enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is going to be an interesting feature of this PlayStation 5 VR, is that it will be very smooth, right? That's going to be part of the refresh rate is supposed to be a lot better, right? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I can see where that could be interesting. But I also remember you played some VR game at Gamer X or one of those.
Yeah,
and I were both there. And
it was very dim.
You were like, I could play that.
Yeah, that one wasn't so bad. But even so, when I was done, my sense of depth was all off.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, since we're kind of said all about just about everything we've had to say on this topic, and we're about to get into our gaming weeks, you kind of alluded to there the med situation. And I know that kind of like you had your big study this week and everything, right? So anything you want to comment on that whole thing? Congrats on getting through that. I know it was a difficult period.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, in a nutshell, what happened is, I hope that didn't sound funny. I'm still having some issues with my mic being recognized.
No, you're coming through okay.
Anyway, so I had two types of studies. I'm trying to remember the other one. MSRT. It's some type of nap test.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a multiple sleep latency test, the MSLT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at any rate, what happens is that they hook up all of this shit to you,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of wires. They put this putty in my hair to get it to stick to my scalp. And I mean, I had them here. They were here. They were on my neck. I had one right here for eye movement.
Podcast
and another one
listeners,
here for
she's,
eye movement.
She's pointing everywhere.
Around my eyes. I had one on my throat for like snoring, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I had another one on my jaw for sleep talking, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. which apparently I did mumble a bit in my sleep. I had ECG monitors on, electrocardiogram, for those who may not be in the know. They put monitors on my legs. They put them on my arms. And so that was just for the nighttime test.
Mm-hmm.
So now my average bedtime is like between 1 and 3 a.m. It depends. I'm just a night person. I'm always more alert at night. They had me go into bed like closer to 9, which is like, what am I, in elementary school?
Yeah, right.
So, but I did manage to go right to sleep, which was weird for me. And then I woke up at midnight and I was wide awake. And I laid wide awake. There's a window in there, but it was kind of blacked out. And if I had to go pee, I had to, you know, call someone in to disconnect the box that all my wires were connected to.
Oh, geez.
And I've got all this on my my Twitter, and I'll find the link for it's somewhere on my profile at Dark Sakura. I'll find the link though for Chatters. Finally, the lady's like, "Look, if we can't get 6 hours of sleep out of you, then we're gonna have to do this test again." And the first thing I thought, "Oh, they're gonna put that shit in my hair." So, I was like, look, I brought my anti-anxiety meds. I have not been taking them except when I am desperate to sleep. Can I take one? And she's like, okay. Because really my anti-anxiety stuff is more of an antihistamine.
Mm.
And so it was basically the equivalent of taking like two Benadryl instead of one Benadryl.
Right.
Also, just to go ahead and say this, there are other kinds of sleep tests that you can take home. This one is not one of them. It's right. Not like a basic sleep apnea test.
Right.
Oh, and I also had the finger monitor for, I guess, O2.
So,
you know,
so you got oxygen. Through you got through the night. You got through the 6 hours.
I got through the night, and they woke me up at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now keep in mind, I haven't had any caffeine for 2 days now. Well, a whole day. And then, so the next part of it was I was doing 5 naps. And people were like, oh, you get to take a nap several times a day. No.
It's hard to do Or it's hard to do that many. Yeah.
The thing is that for me is that during the day when I am unmedicated, I will nod off at a moment's notice. I am exhausted during the day. I am sleepy. I could go to sleep. Probably right now, if you put me on the bed, I would probably take a nap. And it's only 6:40. So, at any rate, first one, I laid down and I dreamed. Second one, same thing. Third one, same thing. The fourth one, I think I stayed awake through the nap time. Or at least, if I slept, I didn't remember sleeping. I didn't remember dreaming. Fifth one, I dreamed the whole thing. Pretty vividly, pretty quickly. And each of the naps were anywhere between 20 to 30 minutes. So in between, I ate some really terrible reheated.
I'm going to ask you to fast forward a little bit because
because it was hilarious.
Yeah.
The French toast that they gave me, I sent a picture to Tiara and they said it looked like melancholy toast. And that's what I'm calling it from now on.
It's a depressing toast. But so you got through the whole process and are you able to get back on some of the stuff you were doing before and all that? So because I know you were
worried
about
back
that.
Into my meds.
Oh, good.
Just because if I can get away with taking fewer or smaller doses, I would prefer to do that. But I'll just go ahead and say what I'm on. The four things that I had to quit taking was Zoloft. I don't care.
Okay.
Normalize it, right?
True.
So I take Zoloft.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone out there who has to take an SSRI, there's no shame in it. If you need medication, take it. I went back to taking half of my regular dose. I am now taking 75% of my regular dose, and I'm feeling pretty okay on it.
Oh, good.
I take Provigil, which is something that they give to people with narcolepsy, but they also give it to people with chronic fatigue syndrome, which I have been diagnosed with. Mm. I'm taking less of it. I'm actually needing less of it than I used to stay awake during the day.
That's excellent.
I take a sleeping medication called Trazodone, and I was taking 4 of them a night to sleep. I am now getting to sleep with one of them and staying asleep. So the weaning has actually been good for me. And then I take another one called Prazosin. I am taking my same dose of that, and that's something that I take for PTSD.
I do
not mind talking about my medications because, honestly, if I can normalize you know, mental issues and show everybody that you can be on them and be a well, I'm not regular, but you know what I mean.
A mostly regular person.
But anyone can be on medication, whether or not you think that they are. Yeah. And it's something that needs to be normalized. People need to be able to talk about.
That is all true, but it is still your business at the end of the day. You know?
And I don't care. For me, if I'm in a position that I can help people normalize their treatment and normalize dealing with mental issues, I'm all for it.
Fair.
And the thing is that everything, all four of those that I was on are also used to treat narcolepsy. So they cannot see if I have narcolepsy
while you're on
until they take me off the stuff that treats narcolepsy.
Yeah, I get it. Well,
so that's kind of the whole thing behind it. And I'm still not doing any driving right now. I'm not exactly safe to drive. I'm still having slightly cataplectic moments.
I'm not really sure what to wish somebody that's been through your situation. I don't think I can say like, gosh, I hope the test results were good. I just I hope you
there's
get
no good or bad to it.
Yeah. I hope you get answers and it puts the puzzle together for the doctors and all that good stuff. So
well, hopefully I'll get the results soon.
Yeah.
I'm off for another week, so I did take the Wednesday night after my test. I took that off from streaming and I took last night off from streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But in streaming notes, I only have 3 more days to go till I hit the 25 out of 30
day,
thing. And I'm doing a join-a-thon on Wednesday.
This Wednesday?
Yeah, this Wednesday.
Oh, fun.
It's basically just going to be like a random little half-assed, marathon. And if people want to follow, great. I've got some prizes. If people want to subscribe, great. I have prizes. But mostly I just want to hang out and bullshit.
Sounds good.
Swift.
Why don't you? Oh boy! Why don't you tell us about the rest of your gaming week as we're getting into this segment? Tell us about the other types of games you've been playing this week.
I've actually been playing a lot of games. Mm-hmm. First of all, I started Cyberpunk 2077 since it's on Stadia. It plays very stably.
Mm-hmm.
The car steers like shit with a keyboard, and it won't let me use a controller.
Oh, wild.
And I even hooked, for those who are watching, I even hooked this sucker up.
Uh-huh.
My Street Fighter Ryu wired Xbox controller.
That's interesting because, I remember early on when all the crazy, like, graphic issues and bugs were happening with Cyberpunk, a lot of people were saying, hey, this is the best case used for Stadia yet because Stadia is the best place to play it. It's the least broken there because, you know, you're running on relatively Uber computers. But it's interesting that you ran into kind of the other issue about you can't really control it the way you want to.
Yeah, but that's still not as big of a deal to me. I just lowered the steering sensitivity and it's kind of all right. But yeah, the steering sensitive, and there's a lot more buttons to remember. I kind of had to put myself a little bit into a Mass Effect thing, but I do hate that it's first person. I desperately hate that it's first person. And if I could find a way to make it third person, I would do it.
Mm.
So I didn't play a whole lot of it. It's got some interesting factors in. It could be a good game. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. I might actually go play Avengers next.
Okay.
But I've also been just sort of working my way through some of my Steam games as well. I had this game called Demon's Tilt.
That's a pinball game, right?
It is a pinball game. Yeah, it is a spiritual successor to the Crush series. So Alien Crush, Devil's Crush, and Jockey Crush.
Oh, I didn't know those were related. That's cool.
It's a spiritual. I don't think it's by the same people.
Oh, okay.
But it's definitely in that style. It feels like playing Devil's Crush or Alien Crush or any of them. It's a lot of fun. I've got VOD of it on my channel from playing it, and I think that's actually going to become just like a regular casual thing for me to play on a stream. Because, like I said a few weeks ago, when my work schedule changes, my streaming schedule changes, and I'm going to try to do something that's a little bit more sustainable, you know, to get people in at different times. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I might even, except for my post OLR stream, I might be going like at 4:00.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because then my East Coast buddies can hang out with me. But I've also still been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight. Okay. Dead by Daylight talk.
Quickly.
Okay. You know who my worst character is. Everybody's worst character, practically. Nurse.
Nurse, yeah.
I played my very 5th ever game of Nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone through and just put everybody on their default perks just so that it would force me to try to learn them in Adept. And I was like, oh, I'm bored. Let's just play Nurse, which is, I think, on my VOD of me saying that. Well, either I had infants or I had meme people, although, like, all but one of them were in Ash levels. I got my first 5K as Nurse.
Wow, congrats.
And Adepted.
Hey, nice. Good way to
do it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
That means nice. I never have to try this shit on Sally again. And I also got Adept Hag.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Adept Hag is actually easier than I thought it would be.
Her perks are pretty strong for, yeah, compared to like the base kit for others.
I'm not looking forward to adepting Plague.
Yeah.
Or Pig, honestly. I don't like Pig's perks. I like playing her. I hate her perks.
All right.
But yeah. But that's it.
All right.
That's
a little diversité in your gaming week there with pinball and cyberpunks. Cool. Loki.
Well, and of course I played Fantasian.
Oh, right. Good. Yeah. Loki, how was your gaming week? I think you're muted, or I'm not hearing him. Oh, there we go.
So, sorry about that. Couldn't remember if I was muted or not. So this week I've been playing Minecraft. I know it's a shock. I've been very busy on the server and doing server admin stuff, mainly server admin stuff lately because I'm running the server. So today we finally got our server converted over the PaperMC, which made it much better. We've been having like lag issues, like all sorts of crazy lag issues from like literally nothing that should be causing lag. We have very few players on. We have all the optimizations we could possibly put on the server in there, and it was just not doing a thing. like it's ridiculous. So switching the paper just magically made everything work just fine, which is fantastic. And that's how kind of we ran the server last season with Collusion MC and stuff like that, and how they're doing it this year. So I just said, bite the bullet and put that in there. I don't know why we were on Fabric in the beginning, in the first place. I think is because somebody wanted to run their personally developed mod packs in there. And now that player isn't playing on the server. So he made a bunch of recommendations that we followed, and they were bad recommendations. So once they started ignoring the recommendations, then everything started working. So, yeah, we finally got that done, and I did a big build for like a harbor and stuff. I think last week I put out an episode, and I should be doing a new one here pretty soon. So it's been a lot of fun.
Nice. All right. Anything else amongst your ER adventures and all that? Just mostly Minecraft.
Just to explain the DuckTales in the background. So that is because I convinced my youngest son to watch DuckTales. And now he's hooked. He's hooked on the new series.
Oh, how funny.
But now he binge watched all three seasons of the new series all this week. And then he started the old series now. So I just thought that was funny.
Oh, cool. You got to make him play the game. That DuckTales Remastered
exactly.
was pretty good.
I know. I need to buy that for him. Yeah. He wants
if
to
you
play.
Didn't it get delisted for a hot minute? I think it might be back. I think it like came back.
Don't they have it like as part of like a Disney afternoon pack or something like that? Don't they have like
well, there was a Disney thing, but that was a different set of games. That was like the Rescue mm-hmm. Rangers and those games that they put in that pack. It might have had DuckTales 2 in there, but yeah. Dartusui in chat says it did, yeah, but I think it came back. I don't know. Anyway, I don't think I ever shouted out the chat room. Hi, chat. Sorry, guys. We had a lot to catch up on. And I noticed SJ100 Matt says, gaming week, a lot of things at MAGFest, mostly pinball. Yeah, MAGFest was this weekend, and boy, I bet it was a little strange with everything going on in the world, but Dragon Con was weird, too. I was very happy to see all the pictures and things I'm seeing. Everybody's taking precautions, so good for y'all. Let's see. Oh, Bobby does confirm it came back 7 months later. That's good. Bobby Blackwolf also bringing up the Rush pinball table, which he went into great detail about on his show. And I know like Rush is like his favorite band. So I am not surprised at all to hear that he went all in on that table. But, Darsakra, I know you're kind of the pinball queen here at OLR. Did you see on that Rush pinball table and are you like, ooh, that looks good? Or are you just kind of like, no more space? You're muted. Y'all check your mutes.
I would, in a heartbeat, get rid of AC/DC and Guns N' Roses for Rush.
Okay.
And Dan just might come home to find them gone.
That Guns N' Roses table is pretty nice, though, even if it is old Axl.
No. I don't have the old Guns N' Roses.
No,
Jersey Jack Guns N' Roses.
No, I know. But I was going to say, a lot of people might be thinking of that older table, and it is not. It is the Jersey.
I used to have one.
But with old Axl. That's my point. It's the that you see in the video.
Now his dad bought Axl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, the Jersey Jack Guns N' Roses is pretty fun. I mean, I really am a big fan of the Jersey Jack tables.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, like, I would play, like, the AC/DC table, I play a couple of songs on that one just because they're the ones I like.
Mm-hmm.
Aerosmith table, I played, like, nothing but Sweet Emotion on that one. I'll play this, you know, some of the different Guns N' Roses ones because, I mean, shoot, I was in middle school when, at the height of Guns N' Roses, you know, when Appetite for Destruction came out.
It's interesting you named those two tables as one you're willing to sacrifice, but not Megadeth.
I don't have Megadeth.
I thought you did. What was the other machine I'm thinking
Wait,
of?
Wait, do we have Megadeth?
I think you do you not even know?
I don't know.
Go out in your garage and look. I'm pretty sure there was a Megadeth out there.
Well, if we had Megadeth, that shit can go. Because they only did two good songs.
I can't believe she doesn't even fucking know what machine she has. They rotated it out so fast. I love it.
Well, no, we might be borrowing that one.
Oh, you know what? And I think Dan was saying something about that. I think it is you guys are housing it.
Now I have Sweating Bullets stuck in my head.
Where's my ABBA pinball table?
Tell them.
Bobby was talking about, like, you know, you have your, like, whatever it is, Holy Grail pinball table, like the one thing that's going to make you go, well, I guess I'm buying a pinball table. And for him, it was Rush. For me, it's ABBA. So let's
oh,
all.
Yeah, I have Mandalorian, but I like that one.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Well, the thing is, I have to see who did the design behind this one. Is it a Steve Ritchie?
This new Rush table?
Yeah.
No, Bobby said it on his show, and it was somebody who did other tables. He went into some of the John Borg. That was it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only thing that would make this table even better is if it was a Papa Duke design.
Mm. All right.
But then again, Papa Duke did theater and World Cup and Arabian Nights.
Oh, those are some classics. Those are like three of my favorite tables right there. All right.
Yeah.
Let me get into my gaming week because I actually played a little more than Final Fantasy XIV this week and Dead by Daylight. I played some other stuff as well. And a lot of that was thanks to trying to be good about streaming every day this week. So I played Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster. And I decided to just grab that. I was going to say on the Steam sale, but I don't think it was actually on Steam sale. I just grabbed it. Because you know what? If I'm going to double dip on any Final Fantasy, I'm going to do it with IV. And I say double dip because I'm still holding out hope that they're just going to put out the Pixel Remasters again on console. I really hope they do. They've got to change the font if they do it. The font doesn't annoy me as much as I thought it would, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized, well, if you're playing on a tablet or phone, that's right in front of your face. And if you're playing on a computer screen on Steam, that's right in front of your face. And so the font isn't annoying, but on a television, that's going to be very annoying. They might be able to get away with it on Switch because you can play a Switch in handheld mode. But I'm hoping there's going to be some sort of Pixel Remaster Deluxe that allows you to change the fonts and maybe has some other extras in it, because the extras that come with Pixel Remaster are pretty light. You get a variety of artwork and like a jukebox, very standard stuff for a game. Maybe you can get the bonus dungeon back in there from the Game Boy Advance version or something. That would be really cool. I was enjoying my time with it. The thing that surprised me is that the translation is new. I was like, is this the DS translation? I just don't remember it very well. But I did some research on Reddit, and it turns out they actually did a new translation for Final Fantasy III Remaster and IV Remaster. For whatever reason, they did not recycle the DS ones. I don't know if that was a space concern or what. So they actually did do new translations, and it really does change things of the story that you might remember from Final Fantasy II growing up with that as a kid. Because, of course, and I think we all know this now, those games were not great translations because they had to cut many corners to get that game to fit. And they did things and took shortcuts that I don't think Square would do today in retrospect, and how big the Final Fantasy franchise got here after all. So it is nice to play those games in more of a context that they were meant to be played. So, yeah, I'm enjoying the Pixel Remaster outside of the font. And I even got the scene for you, Spoony Bard. I'm happy to report it is still intact in that whole scene.
People would riot in the streets.
Yeah, people, they have to keep that the same, even if you do a new translation. Also, a new-to-me game. I played a game called Death's Door, which came out in the last year and is an indie favorite a lot of people are really enjoying. I took requests on Twitter. I was like, hey, what game should I stream? Steam sale's going on right now. Convince me. And Mike Def said, get this game. And so I was like, all right, I will. And it's cute. I'm glad I picked it up. It's I want to say it's kind of like Zelda-y, but kind of like with a... I don't want to say a roguelike element to it. It feels like it, even though the game actually isn't roguelike. Nothing is like randomized in that regard. Kind of has that sort of feel to it, kind of like puzzly type of thing. It's a very unique art style, which I think kind of draws a lot of people in as well. So I've been enjoying my time with that. It's one of those, like, you have to repeat something three or four times until you're like, oh, that's the pattern. And then you like get it. So it's definitely one of those types of games. Learning it. So I had a good time with that. So I'll probably stream that again for another day next week. And then I played a little bit of No Man's Sky, went back to an old favorite because Expedition 4 started this last week. And I started the Expedition on stream. I only played a little bit off stream. And what I meant to do off stream was not what I finished off stream. And I'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow, Monday, when I stream No Man's Sky again after work. I'm very excited to get back in on that, and I'll tell you about the interesting stuff that's happened. Long story short, user bases are really allowing people to cheese some of the mechanics. And Alan, who also streams No Man's Sky sometimes, he is already done with the expedition. He didn't stream any of it. He finished it in like 4 hours. He said that was the fastest one of all four, because A, he knew what he was doing better than any of the three times that he'd done it before, and B, the user bases made it simple. There was a user base called Get Eggs Here. There was a user base called Six Bones Here. And like the user bases that people are making are just telling people like, hey, come here for the easy grind stuff, which is, and even if you're not in multiplayer mode, you can still see the bases that other people make. And for those of you that think that's a cheesy way to do it, hey, it's your choice to go or not go to the user-made bases. So there is that. Mike Defton chat talking about Death's Door saying, it's Zelda in terms of exploration and puzzles. Combat is fail and learn. Questbuster says, I got my wormy head in No Man's Sky. It took me around 7 or 8 hours blind to finish the expedition. I used one of those bases for the eggs. I guess I'll go ahead and say here, me too. That is the thing I got finished off stream. I wasn't expecting to, because somebody made a base called Egg Farm. And I was like, how do you farm those eggs? And for those that don't know the game so well, there are these alien eggs. And usually when you farm them by attacking them, you have to pick them up right away or they'll disintegrate. And then a swarm of really nasty aliens comes out to attack you. It's like immediately going to like a 4-star rating in Grand Theft Auto. It's really nasty. Well, what somebody did at this base, they found one of those outlets and they built a wall around the entire base and put the eggs inside that wall. So it's like two walls, basically, like Tron like bikes in tandem going around the base. And what they did is that, so when you pick up the eggs, the things spawn. They figured out this because they never spawn on top of you. They always spawn a little ways away, and they're too stupid to get through walls. So you pick up the eggs. The aliens can't get through the walls. In about a minute, they dissipate, and you go back to your ship. Easy peasy. So that was very much a surprise.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, right? So it's making the grinds pretty easy. So we'll finish that on my Twitch tomorrow. I stopped my game off stream at that base so I could show it tomorrow on stream. So if you want the coordinates for whatever reason and all that, it is in that same galaxy. What was I calling that one? It had the planet called like Bonesville that had all the, somebody named the planet with all the ancient bones, Bonesville. So you knew where to go. And it was on another planet in that same galaxy, which I think I was calling like, what was it? Like shucks or something like that. I don't know. It was SC something. So, yeah. So we'll play that, again tomorrow on my Twitch over at Rob Roberts. Okay. we have some gaming news to talk about. There's been a few things that have happened this week among CES and other stuff now that we're getting back into the routine. And I hope all of you that went back to work this week had a great time. Well, I mean, I know work isn't always a great time, but I hope you had a good, restful holiday that made getting through this week easy. And now some of the video game companies are getting back to work, so we are getting a little more news. And we're going to start with Loki's headline.
Yeah, so Jeff Ross, who was at one time, I think, with Sucker Punch Productions. Ben Studio. So Jeff Ross, they were the ones that did like Days Gone and Resistance. And so apparently Days Gone didn't perform as well as Sony had wanted it to. So they sold, I guess, over 8 million copies, but because it wasn't enough, that they basically canned a sequel to the game. And I don't understand how they can be disappointed with like over 8 million copies being sold, and then still more to this day. Maybe because of the review scores, it wasn't as, you know, well-reviewed. But with that, though, there's, you know, they're still pitching other ideas. So the studio is looking to maybe even go back to an open world Resistance game, which I am all for. I loved Resistance.
You like that series, man. Yeah.
That is a great series. It was like, it was funny because it reminded me of.
Oh, wow. That was. Okay, and then my internet just went, took a big hit there. So as we're broadcasting live, there must have been a huge hiccup on Comcast end because Loki dropped and my thing just went to a red box and then immediately came back. So we probably lost a few frames on Twitch. The podcast will sound normal because it comes from a localized recording, but I just have to buy a little more time while Loki reconnects here. That was a very strange hiccup.
I think
hiccup.
I'm still connected.
You are here. Yeah, we just don't see you yet, but we hear you. That's good enough. So you were talking about the Resistance open world.
Yeah, so I'm all for that. You know, the Resistance was such a really fun game. The first one, at least. On the second one, I don't remember if I liked it as much, but the first one I really enjoyed. This is coming back from like when I kind of liked, you know, Call of Duty 2 and even like the original Modern Warfare games and stuff like that were pretty fun. But like it was just a really fun kind of mix of like a World War II shooter with like this alien Halo almost elements to it, and I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I would love for them to bring that back. It's more so, you know, than Days Gone. I never played Days Gone, and zombies, you know, are kind of overdone.
You know, I can't be helped but reminded of that story about how Tomb Raider apparently undersold.
Oh, God, yeah.
And everybody was sitting here going, what? But, I mean, that was evil because, like, Tomb Raider, I still feel like probably that game did better than Days Gone. But I still feel like a lot of people grabbed Days Gone. Do you think maybe Sony shot it in the foot by giving it away too early on, like, PlayStation Plus and that sort of thing?
I don't think they even shot it in the foot. Like, if they're saying they sold 8 million copies of it, like...
True.
Like, how many copies of this game did you want to sell? Like, I don't know. And then it's on PC now. So, I mean,
Ghost of Tsushima
sold like 8 million copies. And they're saying, you know, that's a huge success. But, like, I don't know. And 8 million copies in less than 2 years. Like,
it could be about the budgets. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know what the budget of the game was, but, like, I mean, geez, like, what are your expectations?
Better I know.
Make those a little bit more realistic, please.
I know. All right.
This game that you're developing has got to sell 100 million copies to 10 million people. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to apologize to the live folks because I see that we are kind of going up and down with the frames, and I don't know what's causing it. There's no inclement weather or anything going on, so this is just some weird – and plus – Loki, you lost your internet hiccup too, right? So this must be some wider, like, West Coast issue.
I'm still I'm still like connected to everything. Yeah. So like it just, my camera like blinked and that was about it.
So I don't know. Something weird's going on, you guys. I'm very sorry. We're going to push through for the sake of the podcast, folks. But thank you for sticking with us here live on Twitch. I don't think I said this yet, but we do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at VOG Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network. And where yep. we've been for now, our 10th year at VOG Network. I mean, technically the birthday is in like April, but, you know, we're celebrating 20 years a little early at OLR, so why not celebrate 10 a little early at VOG?
Yeah,
so,
one of the things I liked about Resistance were some of the weapons that they had in there. They had, this was like even before like Titanfall had this, where you had bullets basically that you could tag like an enemy with, and then you can shoot them and they go around walls and stuff and they'd follow mm-hmm. kind of home in on it, which is pretty awesome. Plus, it had a really cool campaign where you unlock a bunch of weapons throughout the campaign, and then you play like almost like a new game plus, and then there's brand new weapons you unlock as well. Hmm. So that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. All right. Yeah, we just dropped down to zero. Like, we're not actually putting anything out on Twitch right now, but you guys are still here. So I know the internet
was flickering for me.
Was it? Interesting. Because I was like, I know it's not the internet because you guys are still here. So it's weird. All right. I'm going to try to push through and talk about this next story and just hope the internet kind of recovers there. Okay. If I have to, I'll stop the show and fire up a different Twitch server to see if it's on Twitch's end. But for now, let me get into this next story. So, of course, Consumer Electronics Show happened this week and Arcade 1UP showed up. And Arcade 1UP was showing off some new cabinets, including a brand new Pac-Mania cabinet. Pac-Mania has been in before. This Pac-Mania cabinet, though, it's actually a little bit of like a Best of Namco collection. When I tell you what's in this cabinet, it's Dig Dug, Dig Dug 2, Galaga, Galaga 88, Galaxian Mappy, Pac-N-Pal, Pac-Land, Pac-Man, Pac-Man Plus, Pac-Mania, Rolling Thunder, Rompers, and Super Pac-Man. So what's interesting about these Arcade 1UP machines, and for a lot of people that have been bitching this whole time, well, they only put like four games in those machines and that sort of thing. I feel like this is sort of like, oh, well, now that they've kind of put out all those games, now they're starting to do more of these super machines. So again, this really feels like a Super Namco collection. So Dark Sakura, how do you feel hearing about that?
Cool.
Yeah, are you kind of interested in it?
I'm sorry.
Are you kind of interested in that machine?
Kinda.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up really badly.
Okay, then that's so weird. Then maybe
did you see the other ones
internet.
Too? The other
Loki
the
sounds
Midway.
Fine.
And Midway and the Atari cabinets.
Oh, yeah. Those yeah, no, awesome. I was going to get there. There's a Mortal Kombat one as well, which is just a Midway collection. I want this machine, to be honest. I want the Tron one more, but I really like this one. This one has Bubbles, Defender, Gauntlet, Joust, Klax, Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, Paperboy, Rampage, Tapper, Tubin, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and Wizard of War. That's a really solid collection. And then there's a Centipede cabinet, which is basically an Atari collection with Akaar, Asteroids, Asteroids Deluxe, Centipede, Crystal Castles, Gravatar, Liberator, Lunar Lander, Major Havoc, Millipede, Missile Command, Space Duel, Super Breakout, and Tempest. Now, on top of all this, we have the very first Pro Machine that is coming out. This Pro Machine is a Killer Instinct cabinet. It is a clone of the first Killer Instinct cabinet, but it is a 19-inch screen, and it has it's basically the size of an actual arcade cabinet. You know how Arcade 1UP machines, they're kind of a little bit smaller, even though you still play them standing up, and they kind of feel right. But this is going to be the actual size of a real cabinet. And for that reason, you can expect it's probably going to be closer to $1,000, but still a pretty nice machine there, and I'm sure Dark Sakura is probably going to be interested in that. So, all right.
Yeah, I love that game.
The internet issues are continuing, so before we get to Dark Sakura's next story, we're going to do a little bit of a break here. I'm going to do the whole turn it off and on again just to make sure it's not my internet, and we'll be right back. Please stay with us, folks. We'll be right back here with more of Orange Lounge Radio. And unfortunately, that ended up being the end of the show. I had some pretty major issues with my upload speed that took a few days for the cable company to fix. Sucks when things out of your control happen, but what can you do? appreciate those of you that turned up live and those that listened to the podcast this week. Sorry it's a late post, but the hobbled upload meant I couldn't even move the recording to Dropbox. And sorry about the abrupt ending, but it is what it is, and we'll try again next week. Until then, take care, everyone.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.